Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors, who will offer you a generous 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/the square ball. Dan Michael and Moscow for the final regular season match ball. Wembley.
We get extra games.
We're for free. Oh, no, we have to pay for them.
Yeah, bonus. So, but what happens in summer? You get bored because there's no football. So just push it back a month. Lots of enjoyment and pleasure to come.
I've got to be honest, I was really looking forward to it.
To what?
The season ended and summer being here.
Well, well, it'll be your second favourite thing, watching Leeds United play football.
I was, but we could have the perfect end to the season and hit the summer with a beautiful memory to treasure. It wasn't to be today.
We're going into these playoffs with such momentum.
Well, let me start you off. We're live on YouTube for 169 hardy souls at this moment in time. So welcome. If you're listening afterwards, this is the fun that you get to miss out on. John O'Mitchell's comment is the one I want to lead off on. The result never mattered, but the performance did, and it was shocking again. Do you agree? Discuss.
Yes.
I wasn't shocked.
No, I wasn't shocked.
No.
Not when I saw the team and he went, it's the same team. It'll probably play about the same. And then it was the same because it was Smallbone, just strolling through the midfield, much as Chair and that other QPR bloke did the other day. Just didn't work again. Did we even deserve one?
Yes.
Did we?
Good goal.
It was all right. They deserved the win, though, didn't they?
Probably.
You would have to say.
On the strength of the first half.
I mean, the second half was weird.
Yeah.
Particularly when Ipswich, they went two up after about 2 minutes of the second half, didn't they? And you get the feeling everyone just went...
Yeah, that was it. It was known, wasn't it?
I think it was known anyway. I looked at the Ipswich stats at halftime and Huddersfield's XG was 0.01 and they had, I think, like three touches in their box.
To be fair, actually, Ipswich should be embarrassed of only beating them 2-0.
Well, I knew it was nothing going to happen because I looked at the lineup and Huddersfield had that obese fullback in who played against us.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they're not getting anything.
Did you pick up on what... Brighton Wright was saying about Warnock this week.
In
the players he inherited had spent pre-season in the pub playing
golf course,
and falling out with each other. And if he'd realised all that before he came in, he wouldn't have bothered. So it's just another way we can blame Warnock today for Huddersfield not going there and doing anything.
Yeah, but Huddersfield finished the game with 0.14 XG.
Yeah, I didn't come into this with any hope.
No, really. I didn't either, really.
No matter what we might have said.
I came into it with a £5 bet on Ipswich and Leeds to win.
I actually thought there was a fair chance we would win, but I also thought I couldn't see any world in which Ipswich didn't get a point against Huddersfield. So,
well done.
What, to Ipswich?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to.
I found it odd, though, that when they scored, Southampton fans started singing it. And they were right on they were singing it before I got a goal alert. But they were singing 1-0 to the Tractor Boys. Is it appropriate to sing about another team's nickname?
Ipswich doesn't fit, scan, does it?
Well, they don't sing
the
it.
Ipswich town doesn't scan both tracks.
Yeah, but I mean, lots of songs don't. I mean, they sang the worst rendition of Informer by Snow that I've ever heard. They can't even fit that to the tune. They kind of go, I don't know which player it's about. It might be Will Smallbone. And they go, so they can't sing that. Then they don't need to worry too much about, we better get the Ipswich song right. We better get their nickname proper.
Yeah, I mean, fans do dig out other fans, don't they?
That's fine. But don't use, imagine us singing, 1-0 to the Red Devils. You're not going to do it here.
No. But, I think it was a slight misreading as well, because Leeds fans, I think, were fully resigned to this being not happening.
It wasn't a day that I was telling the mag before the game, and a few people were insistent that it was going to happen.
But it happened.
But you know, you've got a dream, haven't you? I suppose. Yeah. But no, I never felt there was any real.
But yeah, I mean, congratulations to Ipswich. And there's part of me, because you know, trying to find any sort of angle on this to make myself feel better. And I don't feel that bad about it because, you know, we've still got another bite of the cherry, haven't we, with the playoffs and, you know, the potential of going up through that. And if not, if we don't go up, fair enough, because Premier League's fairly horrible. There's part of me thinks, yeah, enjoy this weekend because this is as good as it's going to get.
I mean, it won't be as good as the last 2 years for Ipswich because they've got close to 200 points, haven't they?
They'll keep going.
Across the past two...
I've said it before, I'm sticking... No.
Another 90 next year?
I don't know about another 90, but I think they'll be top 10.
I'm not so sure.
There'll be an early flirtation with Europe. Momentum.
Yeah.
They just keep on going and keep on trucking. And they've got a lot of... it'll be like us when we went up.
Momentum
and just a lot of people with... Like the excitement of it being the first season. Like when we had Cooper and Ayling, these players who'd kind of fought their way into the Premier League. Mm. I think them, you know, Farker was highlighting like Sam Morsy being... Why is he 35 years old, which I hadn't realised. But players like that will have reasons to at least have one good season in the Premier League. And then, and just momentum, the surprise factor, all that kind of stuff that can...
Sam Morsy is 32, by the way.
But take it up with Daniel Farker, not me.
Oh, I've just had the FOTMOB notification for the official highlights for both our game and Ipswich and Huddersfield game. So this is me deleting the notifications. There we go. Gone. Yes, I think Ipswich, what they've done this year is they've played without fear. Whereas we have played with much fear, particularly as it's got closer and closer to the end. Maybe, you know, the point at which the horses were spooked, as I described it this week, was potentially us going top. When we got to the top, we're like, oh shit, now what are we supposed to do? It's hard being the ones trying to run away with it.
It's weird how we've defensively fallen apart, though. Like, I can almost picture how, in an attacking sense, you maybe grind to a halt a little bit. Like, you get paralysed by the safety of the football and... Try not to take, you know, maybe we don't take enough risks, and it's not a first time pass. It's take a touch and try and find a pass, and it's not trying to beat a man. It's trying to just lay it back to the fullback and then work it from there. But defensively, we've completely gone to pieces. It was like Jesse Marsh times today.
You're not the only one to say that. Let me just find the comment. Marco's put this, and I saved it. Did we rehire Marsh as
just
a defensive coach?
Ball to the far post. There seem to constantly be like four Southampton players there, and just waiting to put it in.
Acres of space in the middle as well. Actually, it was the point I was going to lead into from the. Footballing perspective was the shape today was just, it was all over the place. It was bad, really bad. We just couldn't handle their runners coming from midfield. It seemed like midfield was just all at sea.
What shape were we in today? Bad shape.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if it was their first goal or the second, whichever one it was. I think it might have been one of them. It was one of them. There were four players unmarked.
That was player.
Sorry, four of our two. Players rather, and their player just ghosted in and just put it in.
It's goal number one.
Yeah, first goal. Yeah. Just so you can't do that. You can't expect to get promoted.
Oh yeah, they scored both goals in the first half, didn't they? I was trying to be clever and I fucked up.
Yeah, you didn't have to tell me that. You could have just made me look stupid.
No, it's all right.
But some of the shape was a mess, wasn't it?
It starts further forward though, doesn't it? Because we press from the front, and then once you're through there, if things are out of shape, then there's players are running at the back four, and that makes the life difficult. So it's not necessarily that the back four have suddenly stopped playing well. It's that there's a lot more coming at them that used to stop further forward. How far forward and where that actually comes from is difficult to say, but I would look at, shortly before he was taken off, I was looking at Jorginho Rutter, just absolutely shagged out. Not moving, staying miles off the ball. Nyonto's not chasing people back. And it's, I don't think it's, and I noticed as well in the first half, Nyonto was trying to, run round somebody on the outside and just got completely outpaced, which is unusual given that he is a very quick player. And my theory for a lot of it is, and I mentioned this after the QPR game, is that very few of these players have ever in their lives played more than 35 games. I think there's, from the QPR lineup, there were three and one of them was Melier. And a 46 game season for players who have previously never played more than 35, I think they've just ended up shagged.
Yeah, they've run out of steam, haven't they? Yeah. And the injury's just bit at the wrong time, just coming out of that international break. And it was just enough to make us not quite good enough.
And momentum as well. Yeah. For as long as you could just keep it going, you don't think about how tired you are, but there is something strange that happens that you can keep going and keep going, but when you stop to then pick it up and start again, and then you know, Groove gets injured in Bulgaria and Azerbaijan and all the kind of the injuries mount up and what happens to the Wales lads, the disappointment there, injuries at the important times to Dan James and Pat Bamford, suddenly they're not they're both players with more experience, and yeah, I think we've just got players who've not been in this situation before, not played this many games in the season before, not had to do any of this before. Ethan Ampadu, I thought it was interesting how much he lost his temper at the end of the game. And you remember the last three seasons, he's been relegated with three different clubs. And now he's still only 23, but he's the captain of a team that's trying to win promotion to the Premier League. They're all being asked to do a completely different thing. The start of last season, Wilf Jonto was playing in Switzerland.
Mm.
He was 18.
If they're all knackered, is that slightly Farke's fault, though? Because
yeah,
we've not seen much rotation, have we? Like,
who do you rotate to?
Well Jaden Anthony, for example. But I think when we went to Stoke and that didn't work, he lost faith in the idea of making changes and rotating through midweek. And we saw the same, more or less, injuries accepted, the same teams were put out time after time after time, weren't they? So I think maybe they have just burnt out. And it's quite telling that in the final table, which I can put on screen at a size that people can actually see, which is nice.
Prove it.
There you go. We have fallen short of 2 points per game in the end, which was his stated target at the start of the season.
He also had a stated target of, 26 wins, which we've exceeded, and 75 goals, which we've exceeded.
According to that table, if that's the full table, we're 6 off bottom. That's not very good, is it?
No, that's not the full table.
It's just the top third.
Middlesbrough and Hull in League One next year. Well, for them.
Yeah. You've done very well with that table, Dan.
Thank you. I came in here and I got it immediately. I thought, so people can see it.
Well done for your graphics.
Yes. So if you're listening on the audio version, what that shows is that Leeds finished third. I don't know if you're aware.
It's got the form on there too, which actually shows a big, huge block of shitty red for all the playoffs teams, doesn't it? Everyone's terrible.
I mean, Norwich lost to Birmingham today and Birmingham got relegated at the end of it. So, and you know why? Roberts, unused substitute.
There you go.
I was going to highlight today one of the things, because I think it immediately went back to Farke then, whereas I was trying to pull the players, and I was listening to the podcast with Phil Hay from at the end of the week, which was like 45 minutes about Farke. And the players are important as well. And I was going to highlight the way that a lot of the glumness, and you could hear it today in the crowd, the way we always rotate back to along the back four when things were a bit difficult going forward, or not even difficult going forward. But a lot of this is player influenced as well. Byram, the number of times Byram watches Wilf Nyanto make a run down the right wing and then just passes it to Roden is incredible. And then as soon as Connor Roberts is on the pitch, he's trying to play 1-2s with Jaden Anthony and running into the box. And different players do different things. And it's if we'd had Roberts available, perhaps we'd have had more dynamism from that side. And that you watched, there was one particular move where shortly before he went off, Byram ignored a Nyanto run, gives it to Roden, it goes across, Firpo gets the ball. And then, but Firpo likes taking a chance with Somerville. So he's a bit more like trying to get a ball in. So more happens on that side. So not everything is down to Farke telling them exactly what to do in every situation. Because if you put a different player in the same position, that player does different things. Maybe we need just some different players in some different positions. The goals from midfield thing is also, you know, one of the big complaints, but how many goals are meant to check? How many goals has Glenn Kamara ever scored in his entire career?
I think none.
Not many.
None ever.
So what's the point in everyone going like, shoot, he's fucking rubbish at scoring goals. But so maybe it's the most sensible thing is you say, right, at the moment, our team has got Glenn Kamara in midfield who can't score because he's rubbish at it. He can't shoot. And then it's got these four players in front of him from four players out of six who are all really good at scoring goals. So what's the best thing to do? Should Glenn Kamara be shooting from 35 yards and fucking Bradley Johnsoning it into the south stand every time? Or maybe he tries to get it further forward and then we give it one of the attackers who can score. If next season we get a goal scoring midfielder, I don't think Daniel Farke will be like, oh, we've signed the ghost of Gary McAllister. Do not shoot. Things change depending on the players.
The shoot thing, though, it's just a coping mechanism, wasn't it? It was just gallows humour.
And it came about when Firpo had a chance to shoot and didn't. And it felt like it had reached
a point. Somerville had a chance to shoot and didn't.
Yeah, and it felt like it had reached a point in the game where simply no one was ever willing to shoot. And it was frustration. It's end of season.
I think my point is then that goes to like, fucking Farke. But I'm like, well, Somerville should shoot. He's the championship player of the year. Why doesn't he shoot? And I think, and is it perhaps Daniel Farker has told him, never shoot in the penalty area? I would find that unlikely.
No.
Maybe it's just that maybe Somerville, I think, more experienced or a different player, is lashing the ball in from those positions.
The gripe,
the
though,
frustration is, yes.
I think the gripe there, Moscow, is not necessarily at Farker directly because Crescenzi or Somerville chooses not to shoot. It's that we meet banks of defenders and it feels like we don't have a different way to deal with that. I think that's what the underlying kind of complaint is. Do you agree? I don't know.
Partly. I think partly because of the way we build attacks slowly, we inevitably create a situation where by the time someone would ordinarily be positionally is in a good position to shoot, they get it there with five players between them and the goal, rather than it being a quick move that gets it there where they've just got to knock it around the edge of one defender and shoot.
Yeah.
You're getting it to those positions, but there's a big wall of people in front of you because it's taken us 30 seconds to get there by going across the box two or three times.
Yeah.
And then it's just very, very congested when it gets there. And, and it's, I mean, the shoot thing at the end of the game, it's just frustration.
Yeah.
It's last day of the season. There's always a bit of nihilism
in the
air.
But it's not like it's just come up. It's been there the whole time. But then you look at that and it's like, well, we attack slowly and we don't do enough in the penalty area, and the top scorers in the championship this year, Ipswich 92, Leicester 89, Southampton 87 and us 81. So there's only three teams that have scored more goals than us all season, despite the fact that, you know, we never shoot, we're terrible in the box, we can't attack, we're too slow going forward, all the complaints.
But you say that, but we finished third.
Yeah, which is good.
Doesn't feel like it, does it though?
It does. If you take a step back and think, well, there's 24 teams in the division and you're the third best of them, that's good.
I mean, it's better than finishing, I don't know, 22nd, yeah, like Birmingham.
It's better than finishing fourth.
But you can't strip the season of context, can you, and the fact that it was there within our grasp and we've let that go. That's where all the frustration and the disappointment comes from.
If you take the Middlesbrough game out of it as well, it comes from looking at these final games as a block where we've failed to score against Blackburn, against Sunderland.
Yeah. I mean, objectively, it's been a good season because we've got 90 points, we finished third. It would have been enough to see us up in most other years, but context of this season, when you zoom in on it, it's not been enough.
But then
that's why people are frustrated.
Well, it's
sad.
Not been enough to get us into the automatic promotion places, but to get into the automatic promotion places would have required Leicester or Ipswich to collapse in an unbelievable way. Instead, they just collapsed in a believable way and didn't let us in. We were only in the top two, like 4 or 5 weeks out of the season. Mm. It would have been, if we'd have got automatically promoted from how far ahead Ipswich and Leicester were, it would have been an almighty mugging, a gate crashing, and we would almost, like, you could almost have said that we never deserved to get into that, but obviously you finish where you deserve to, but we would have had to do some it would have been incredible. And it wasn't incredible, instead it was just credible, and I think third,
I think that's why
anger at the end of a season where we've ended.
I don't think it's anger, I think there's just a bit of frustration there, and you saw like the crowd just sort of dissipated quite early, you know, towards the end. There was no kind of staying around for the lap of appreciation or anything like that.
Were they doing that today?
Yeah, a good number of people.
I didn't know.
It was never announced. I stayed till the bitter end. Yeah, I mean, what you saw at the end was actually, it was probably, I don't know, about a quarter full, something like that, I would say, I guess. And everybody who stayed applauded him off. And there was, with each sort of passing chunk of the stadium, so it started at the Kop end, there was just a little roar of, as in a come on Leeds roar, as in we're still here for you, you know, we've still got your backs. But I think it's fine to be frustrated and to express frustration at the way that the season's petered out. I think we all understand the reasons why it's petered out. Like, say, young team, it's a bloody long season. But then again, you look at how Ipswich have handled it, and they've just handled it better. And sometimes you've got to say, well, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, Ipswich have gone up on 96 points, haven't they?
Mm. Yeah.
It's a hell of a target. If we'd have had the same season we had under Bielsa, we wouldn't have gone up.
No.
Based upon this. And that was the best season ever.
Yeah.
We loved it and we got 93 points.
Yeah, which would have happened. We would have matched that today if we'd won, but it would have been academic. So there you go.
I was seeing someone was saying this morning, like, oh, if only we'd had the Wilkinson promotion team that wouldn't have bottled this.
Like 85 points.
Yeah, and 2 weeks before the end, we were losing to Barnsley at home.
Oh. Yeah.
And then had to go to the last day needing a win to get it up. It's never as easy. I mean, I think that's the thing about finishing the third in any division, especially when there's 24 teams in it, is really fucking difficult to do. And only at the end of it, only two teams go up out of 22 teams who do not.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Lee's just making a good point, actually, in the comments that the atmosphere was really good for 20 minutes. Proud. And then the old sadness kicked in. We're an emotional club. Yeah. Completely. Yeah. I think, I said that. I texted somebody right at the start of the game. I think there's just that sort of we all love Leeds. Whatever song went up just before kickoff as the ground filled up, I thought, yeah, the crowd's up for it today. They'll get behind them and they'll try and push them on. But then you just saw it kind of peter out, didn't you? The air just sort of being let out of the balloon again.
It got quite exciting when we equalised. So yeah, quickly.
There was that little rumble, wasn't there?
Yeah.
But once
Ipswich were ahead, it was pretty much, you know, we knew how it was going to end. And then it just became, it was quite a tetchy match on the pitch as well, which didn't help. So that referee is a fucking prick. And then...
The referee was really odd.
Half of the Southampton players are pricks as well.
I mean, it didn't matter at all.
No.
But, fucking hell, what was he doing? It was... just absolutely all over the place.
I need to see a replay of what the hell was going on in the penalty area at the end.
I don't know what happened.
It's a lot of like, people fell over, didn't they?
Yeah, it looked like their number, I think it was either their 5 or 35, managed to wipe out two players at once. Mm. And I was looking at that, and then Somerville's
on
the ground.
We got booked for it, didn't we?
And then there was, Southampton started to break, and then there was a foul there, but it's one of our players came off worse. So there was a moment where there were four of our players just lying face down on the grass. Mm. And then everybody seemed to be angrier with Ampadu.
Yeah, so I know Firpo got a yellow card as well for, I think, telling the ref he was a shit. And it said, see.
Yeah, we're not bleeping that.
It was our corner, wasn't it? And I think Firpo may have said, like, ref, that's very obviously a corner. And the ref went, well, no, it isn't.
I mean, it really clearly was a lot further away than the ref. And I could see it was definitely a corner.
I mean, as well, just to even it up a bit, to say it wasn't a particularly elite-hating bastard, there was a bit where Ampadu did one of those taking a yellow fouls and the ref didn't even give a free kick for it. Yeah, they were breaking and he just absolutely clobbered the bloke as he was running away, and he just sort of went, fine, whatever.
He seemed to be weirdly hell-bent on letting everything go until it got tetchy, and then two people would get into a playground argument. Then he booked both of them, and it happened a couple of times, didn't it? And other than that, it was like, you know, all bets are off.
There was one with Ruta for a throw-in, where I think it was five, was all over him and like grabbing him. And then the linesman was like, this should be a foul. And Russell looked at the linesman and was like, oh, thank you, I'm glad you've seen that. And then the referee came over and booked both of them. And Russell kept going, the linesman was like, Tell him I did nothing. And then that's when the same player then, it looked like he fouled Rutter as he went into the box and we should have had a penalty, but we got nothing for that. So
it was a penalty, apparently. I've not seen a replay, but
it was the same.
Yeah. And people saw it at half time and said it was a penalty.
And it came from, that guy.
Hinchcliffe didn't think so, though, on Sky. That fucking cretin.
That's the one reason we
there you
promotion.
Go. So it was then. That's conclusive.
Yes, confirmed.
Richard's saying that somewhere among that melee, I don't know if it was the one towards the end, Pirot nailed one of their players in retaliation.
Good. Right.
Which is petty, but good. There was a point at which I think somebody around me shouted that we should start kicking them ahead of the playoffs.
Just want you to get really petty and violent.
Well, bring on Charlie Crew to break someone's leg or something. Just someone who's not going to play anyway. Absolute destruction job. Who's not going to be play? Right, we're going to bring Chris Clarkson on to take someone's head off. I don't even know if he was on the bench today. I'd completely forgotten to even look at the bench, you know, ahead of it. And then I saw Roberts coming on and I was like, oh, is he fit again? Is he? Okay, yeah. Good.
Clarkridge said he might be all right for half an hour. I mean, that's the one hope for the playoffs is I think everybody just needs a break and to relax.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, get the disappointment of the way the season has ended out of the system. And I was just, you know, I'm kind of trying to defend a few things. I think I want a more interesting conversation than just like everything's Farke's fault, but it seems like it's been over the last few weeks.
I think that's been reductive though, isn't it? Because he has to take some of the blame because you wrote about it in your match report, like when he hit the 2 points per game target, and then how do you follow it when we've kind of done everything that we said we would up to that point, and then we needed to step up and do something else. I can't remember which match report you wrote that in, but it's like, has he got the chops now to sort of kick on and take it to another level after we've met the target that he set?
If that was the QPR one that you were talking, because that came up on the Phil podcast, that was more about how he's got nowhere to take these players because they're children, which is what I was bringing it back
to. Take them to a soft play area.
Maybe that's it. They do just need, because Rutter looked like, you know, before he subbed off, he looked like somebody who has just had a hernia operation and has never been through a 46 game championship season or anything close to it in his life. Somerville championship player of the year and all the plaudits. This is really seriously his first season as a first choice footballer playing every game. And he's done brilliantly, but at some points that you just have to take a step back and go, like, can they actually do this? And I thought it was interesting in Farke's press conference before the game when he was saying that internally in September, he was saying there's no chance that this team gets automatic promotion because it had ended up being the summer and the process of like getting rid of Sinisterra and all the kind of stuff like that was worse than he'd expected. And he said that, he said, he didn't say this publicly, they were saying it internally, was they don't think this team's got a chance of getting promoted automatically. So to get it is, and if you look through it, it's not far away from being an under-21s team.
I feel like the squad as a whole has got a lot of talent in it, but it's also, in a lot of ways, quite horribly imbalanced in terms of the experience in it, the lack of goals from midfield. Because as you say, Gruev, I've not looked at his stats, Gruev, likewise, looks like he will never score a goal.
It's one or two in his career so far.
So like, having set up in that way with, I know Gray has scored at some under-21s level, but he's been a right-back for most of the season because we've not had a right-back. Or if we have had a right back, he's been playing left back because we've not had a left back. So there's a lot of high value players in it and players who I think will go on to have good, probably Premier League careers. But is it better to not have Somerville in this team and have like three good other players? Mm. Like to have a Pat Bamford replacement who's experienced at this level, to have a central midfielder who can score 10 goals, to have another centre back so you can put Ampadu in midfield sometimes. It feels in some ways like we're missing an opportunity because next year we probably will be going at this without Somerville, without Nonto, and probably we'll replace them with players who are not as talented and without such a high ceiling, but we still could maybe be better.
Yeah.
As a result of it.
So. More balanced,
I always used to be against the whole thing of letting your best players go under any circumstances because you've got good players, you need to keep them. But those were in the days when we'd let Snodgrass go and Luke Varney would turn up.
Mm.
Now, I feel like we've got enough there that if some of the star names do go, we'll keep enough of the others and be able to actually build the team a little bit more like what Farke wants. I was looking at, I was interested in the goals from midfield thing, so I was looking at what Norwich did under him. They won the league twice, which is worth remembering. He does know what he's doing in this. But the thing that struck me, they didn't have loads more goals out of midfield. They had some, which is more than us. But the big difference was that the midfielders were like 28 and 30 or 26 and 27, whereas ours generally, Kamara is 28, but Archie Gray is not. Ilya Gruev is very new to this league and it's only 22, 23. Archie Gray's 18. I think as well, looking at it today and when we're looking at why we're getting overrun in midfield, there's a lot of credit gone to when Ampadu went to central defence and formed that partnership with Roden. But would it have been, I mean, we'll never know, but would it have been much worse if Strauch had been fit all season and we'd stuck with Ampadu in midfield? and that just kept getting better and better. Maybe that would have improved on its own as a system and as partnerships. Because Ampadu in the first half of the season, you'd have said, oh, he's the best midfielder in the Championship. Mm. And this guy will be centre of our midfield for years. Then he goes into defence. It's, oh, well, actually, no, he's the best defender we've ever had. But the Strauch, there was nothing really wrong with the Strauch and Roden partnership, and Strauch was having his best season for us. So that gets that's a bit of a miss as well. So yeah, I think that's why I'm quite still quite blasé about whether we go up or not this season, because I'm same as you. I think next year we might actually just have a better all round team and we'll get fewer points and win the league at a canter.
Mm. Farker's comments have started to come in. Where he has said, I wouldn't rate the performance with our normal standards. We chose a risky approach because there was no other option but to win. We pressed man on man. We opened the centre against one of the best attacking sides. There was no option but to go for a wild style of football. But more or less the whole game, the opponent was in the lead. We gave the goals away cheaply, I have to say. It was a special situation to draw or be rock solid was no option. We had to take risks. And he's congratulated Leicester and Ipswich, and we finished third on 90. That's it.
Was that the same game as I just watched?
Don't know.
It didn't feel like a wild style. It didn't feel like a freewheeling, all-out attack. It felt like quite stagnant. It was a boggy attacking performance.
We were pressing them a lot more. What we got a lot of was winning the ball quite high and making chances.
Yeah.
We were better at pressing, which I think was part of, because Southampton loved to just have the ball. They were much more, it was much more noticeable today and also earlier in the season. They loved the ball at the back and they play in the penalty area. And we did quite well. Joe Pirou taking the balls off their goalkeeper's toes twice. And winning all the balls up there and creating chances and creating turnovers was pretty exciting. I think that's what he means by the risk. We were still the same as when we're in possession. I think part of it, I was watching 46 games, I might have finally figured it out. It's like, if Roden's got the ball, we've got a chance to turn over. But if Ampadu's not in position, we wait. We kind of wait for players to come back and then attack in our shape. That was still the same, but what was a bit different was Peru fucking moved. That was a big improvement from QPR, and we were doing a bit more of that.
Farker is a bit tired. This week wasn't the easiest to lift the players, but the tank will be full and we go again to win the best possible prize, promotion to the Premier League.
And did he mention beating Norwich?
I don't think he has mentioned it. I'll have a look. I'll dive through the comments. But in terms of the playoffs, I have the playoff schedule here. Look at that. It's Sunday week, Norwich away. That's a nice early start, isn't it, to get down to East Anglia?
Mm-hmm.
And no doubt, we'll have Ipswich's fans cheering us on, which
that's
is
true. Yeah,
funny old game and so on. And then the return leg Thursday, the 16th of May, 8 o'clock kickoff UK time, back at Elland Road. There's some narrative there, isn't there? A possible Farker and Corberan route to promotion. Mm. Or, I mean, would you fancy playing Southampton at Wembley? I wouldn't.
Not really.
No, I don't really fancy playing West Brom either and Norwich.
Mm. Could we request a bye?
For Norwich?
Yeah.
To the Premier League?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I've said the opposite. I would politely decline to just be in the playoffs at all.
Are you going
to
put our faces back on screen, Dan?
No, I think people know the...
Rest. I think people know about the schedule now.
Do you want to put the table back on?
No,
so we can look at that again.
It's fine. It's fine, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know, with the playoffs. I'm aware there'll be people who've got better data than this, but based upon the Leeds United in the playoffs model, we're going into them without momentum, but does that even matter? Because we went into the... I know we've obviously never won them properly, but you could make arguments for them being like their own little self-contained separate thing, can't you, insofar as we went into them under Blackwell not playing very well, then we beat Preston.
It's tournament football.
Yeah. Likewise, we lost the home leg to Carlisle, went up there and won... Derby, we finished that season in bits, and then for a game and a half, we were by far the better team. Like it's, and then the madness happened. But
we were starting against Norwich, they beat Preston and then drew at home to Bristol, drew at home to Swansea, lost away to Birmingham, who got relegated.
Their form is on screen now. There, you've got draw, win, draw, draw, loss,
and before beating Preston away, they drew 2-2 with Sheffield Wednesday. Away. Well, they did beat Ipswich before that, at which point we were all their bezzies.
Mm.
But they're not in the hottest form either, so maybe that'll even itself out. What did West Brom do today?
They thumped Preston about 3-0, I think.
Yeah, good old 3-0. Is there a Mowat goal?
There was, and a Kyle Bartley goal.
How did I guess?
Did you see what Rotherham did? The Steve Evans renaissance is back, isn't it? Was it 5-2 they beat Cardiff?
Yeah.
The sombrero effect.
It's weird. Across the West Brom and Norwich games...
There was a Cal Bartley goal, yeah. Did you ask that or did you state that?
No, my bad. I said that. Sorry,
yeah. Yeah. But yeah, across the two games against the pair of them, West Brom have basically looked quite crap, but beaten us and drawn. Whereas Norwich, I think, have looked pretty good in both games and we won both of them.
Mad, isn't it?
So, I don't know. See what happens.
Yeah.
There is a bit more from Daniel Farker. Says the reason somebody has asked him, so this opening bit is a question. The reason why we are not in the top two? It's not the last 4 weeks of the season, the first 2 months. Says the start puts big pressure on. I wouldn't say the players wasted it by not investing enough. It sounds like he's happy with what they've done since then. Which
I was for the most part.
Yeah, you've got to be as well. I mean, I keep mentioning it, not mentioning it, but hearing it where we talk about the unbeaten run in 2024, and then it's like, well, it had to end at some point, but then also it's like, why did it fucking end? Because it meant we didn't go up. And,
end later.
Yeah, or just end less. If it had only ended with one game, one defeat, and then we'd come back, then fine. But I think it is, that's what I was saying before, to get into the top two from where we were at the end of September, and you can, I've already seen people debating like how bad September was, but like the lineup of some of those games, were a bit silly when Jan Pervaeder was so close to was starting games. Just put us a long way back. And to get promoted from there would have been extraordinary. And so I can't really resent us not having done the extraordinary thing. It would have been, we would have been gate crashers to end all gate crashers if we'd gone up autos. And I'm just looking forward to us leading from the front next season.
What time did my dad leave? Is being asked in the comments. Famously, he likes to depart early. I think there was a point, he said to me, actually, it was just after the second half started, he went, when Ipswich go two up, he said, I think I'm going to go. And then I was like, got the alert through on my watch. I was like, are you off then? And he didn't. He stayed until 72 minutes, watched a bit downstairs, but then it was sort of, as he went off, he was grumbling about, I'm not staying around to applaud, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, grumble, that kind of thing. But so I discovered on the way out of the ground, shocking thing. There's in one of the East Stand gangways, you know, there's sort of two big entrance ways in the East Stand to get to the East Lower. On one of the walls there's a height chart of all the players. So it's like, are you the same height as so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so? Crescencio Somerville is marked on that chart as 175 centimetres tall, which I believe is...
Is that 5'9 or something?
Yeah.
Which I think is 5'9.
Isn't it? Well, I know he's not, but I think that is...
I think I'm 181, so he's claiming he's only that much smaller than me.
He's diddy.
Yeah.
I'd say
he's probably about up to my knees.
Yeah. How many centimetres is he claiming?
175.
175 centimetres.
Yeah.
That's, he's not that big. Is he? I don't know, maybe he is.
I've got it down as, I've obviously worked, oh, right, yeah. I've got it down as 570 feet.
Yes.
That is about that, yes.
Yeah, it's about right. That sounds about right. 5'7", I think, is what you're looking for there, probably.
5'8.898 is the technical answer. So rounded up to 5'9", which he isn't. I saw on the way in, I thought it was going to be a good omen, the cop cap, alive and well, and striding around outside the West End. So I was quite relieved that he is okay. Maybe we should have brought him on to snap a few of their players.
I got an update. I spoke to a contact this week who knows things.
We handed some documents in a car park.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. There were loads of people gathered around some cars with some headlights pointing towards the other car. They were peering in through the windows. I don't know what was going on there, but some sort of different activity.
And the cop cat was involved in this, saying.
Ellie the elephant lives in bin bags, East Stand.
Yeah, I think I've seen the pictures of that.
Yeah, there was a picture.
A sad retirement, isn't it, that?
Somebody took a photo a long time ago of, there were two photos relevant to this. One of just Ellie the elephant's head on top of like a pile of old programs in the catacombs. And then, yeah, I've seen Lucas the cop cat basically in various component pieces stacked up in somebody's garage next to a wheelie bin. A long time ago.
Sinister.
But they put Lucas back together again and he was striding around today as tall and threatening as he's ever been.
As Crescencio Somerville.
Well, I think we've gone thoroughly off-piste enough now as a coping strategy. So
it's a weird day though, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of. It's funny, isn't it? When you saw the fixtures like right back at the start, you thought, oh, that's going to be spicy on the final day. And then I kind of then wavered between, could be a dead rubber in a good way or could be a dead rubber in a bad way. As the sort of season ebbed and flowed, and it turned out to be a dead rubber in a bad way.
It's better than finishing 15th, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Although it usually was a sunnier day.
Yeah, it is a bit cold today.
It was dead sunny in Ipswich as well. So, you know, when you, if you saw the respective TV pictures earlier on, I thought, yeah, that's a promotion day. This isn't. Mm.
They deserve it, don't you say, because of the weather.
But government assigned weather, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
So what can you expect?
Oh, well, it's because we've been criticising Letitia. Mm. You've probably spoken to some people who've switched it off or something.
Mm. Let's wrap it up. Let's go home. Recharge the batteries, eat well, drink well, sleep well, rest, recover, R&R,
on the
fact for the playoffs.
That all the players are knackered. It is now a decent period of rest, isn't it, in this part of the season. It goes to a more standard, you know, well, get a big rest before the final, don't you? Because there's an enormous gap between the two, which seems over the top, I would say.
Hopefully the pressure will change as well, because
it's today, the pressure has lifted, hasn't it now, I suppose, in a sense. But there's a different kind of pressure, is that right?
Today should have lifted the pressure, I hope, because even though we're saying it was a dead rubber before, you're in that awkward thing where you had to say to the players, and Farke was saying his press conference, no, we still believe we can do it. And so they're still going out there trying to, thinking that we can win automatic promotion, that somehow that's what they had to do. And yeah, just a reset. And then, gets knocked out by Norwich.
One final thing, might as well plug the merch while we're here. Is that T-shirt in stock, the one you've got on, that we all love Leeds?
I think so.
It's on our website, squareball.net, as is loads of other stuff. What are we going to do with all that promotion stuff anyway? Should we just keep it for another couple of weeks? We haven't got any, by the way. We deliberately did not jinx this or tempt fate by thinking, well, because we did, didn't we, under the Bielsa one, we're like, we need stuff ready to go. Mm. But we didn't even want to acknowledge it was a true thing. Like, it was a thing that might happen. So we're like, oh, we can't even address this. We can't even think about it. Whereas we've just not done it.
I mean, the Bielsa stuff, some of it was kind of ready for a season and a bit, if we're perfectly honest. Because we thought it might have happened that first year. But
anyway.
Never mind.
But there's nice narrative, perhaps, with not quite getting there in your first season, doing it in the second season. That's a nice possibility, isn't it? So we can take comfort in that. Mm-hmm. But let's just get up. Just win at Wembley. That'd be better. Winning at Wembley would be better than finishing second. I'm going to tell you that now.
Sun might be out.
No?
The sun might be out.
Is it?
No, in Wembley. In London.
No, I hope not. I hate London.
No. When we win the playoff final.
No.
I'm agreeing with you.
It can come out when it's full time after that, but not during the game. Makes me too warm.
Okay, fine.
I don't want to be too warm in Wembley. I seem to remember being too warm last time I was there and I didn't enjoy it. That might have been Cardiff against Watford.
Get one of those hats with a fan built in.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. And also you'd look cool.
Let's go. Bye.
Yeah, see ya.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.